Hi all, welcome to Chat and Flicks, the Movie Interview Podcast. I'm your host, Carl Pierce, and today we have Richard Earlham.
Hello.
And we have James Brown.
Hello.
And today's episode is our Halloween special. Ooh. And so last episode we were talking about films we haven't seen that were a bit scary, and we recommended one to each other, didn't we? So I recommended Host to Richard, but you'd
then
seen
I'd
it.
Seen it.
And then
so I got another one.
I recommended you one.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about in a second. And then James recommended me Candyman, which I started watching but didn't watch it. Didn't finish it.
Candyman.
Don't say 5 times.
Three times, is it?
It's 5.
Is it? Yeah.
Candyman.
I'm not in for a minute.
Oh, it's lucky. You're lucky. And then
spoilies.
James recommended one to me and...
Yeah,
who's the other person?
I think.
Anyway,
yeah,
it didn't quite work out because we didn't watch them in the end. So we'll just talk about something scary we've watched recently.
Lee sort of recommended me the one I watched.
Oh yeah.
Didn't he? Sort of. So
there you go. So it still works. All right, do you want to start then, James? So what did Lee recommend you?
Obviously, myself and Lee were massive fans of The Haunting of Hill House, and it's a Bly Manor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a Midnight Mass, was that one of
them?
Yeah, and a different one, I think, but still brilliant.
Same producers or whatever.
Yeah, so me and Lee were massive fans of them, the biggest fans in the whole world, even bigger fans than Richard. all of us were fans of them. I just said me and Lee. No, that's what I'm saying. I don't know why I just said me and Lee. Sorry, I realised. We were all massive fans of all of them. Anyway, I wasn't. So the latest one was House of the Fall.
I want to know if you can say it correctly because you keep saying it wrong. Go on,
go on.
House of the Fall of Usher.
No!
what is it? Tell me.
Fall of the House of Usher.
Fall of
is
the
it?
House
is that right?
Of Usher.
I haven't seen it.
You keep going, the House of the Fall.
Is that because of Haunted Hill House? Right.
Hill House is great.
Yeah. So anyway, what's it called? Say it again.
Fall of the House of Usher.
The Fall of the House of Usher. Great reviews online.
Yeah,
everyone's all on it. Yeah.
Well, I've watched it as well, but I'll let you go first.
Fame. Has that gone down in ratings, has it?
Oh, there's some difference. I'm looking at something.
I was just looking at Carl's phone, sorry. So I watched it while I was away in the caravan. Very spooky evening after the Halloween disco.
Perfect setting,
yeah. We had all Halloween deckies up. We'd been to a Halloween disco, walk back, cold, autumn evening.
Nice.
And then we put it on, and I was very, 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 very disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah, same here. I was struggling to stay awake during it.
Too wordy. Too everything they've always got right, they just weren't doing. There was nothing scary.
It wasn't good.
There wasn't a single thing scary.
Really?
And this is a little bit like what I've said about some of these series where episode one goes out and people say, oh, it's a masterpiece. And it's like, well, hang on a second, it wasn't that great. I can see what you're saying, that if you've watched the whole series, then you go back and you review episode one and say it's great based on the fact that you've seen everything else.
What follows, yeah.
But how people can say, I mean, what is that getting? So we both agree that first episode was a bit dull, boring, and it's 7.6 from...
Just for one episode?
Yeah, just for that one episode.
That's a high rating, isn't it?
Exactly, almost 3,000 people. I don't want to watch it again.
But do you not think there's too much hype about this? Is this an Edgar Allan Poe story?
Yeah, I think it's based on them, isn't it?
And there was a lot of hype, like because the other ones were so good.
I think it's gone down since Hill House, which was the first one.
100%. There's a gradual decline, I think, in the franchise, if you want to call it that. In the Netflix franchise, you could call it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just genuinely thought it was awful from what I've seen. I watched episode one and halfway through episode two. I'll be honest with you.
Two.
I'm just going to tell the listeners now I won't be watching it anymore.
Yeah.
I just can't be bothered.
That's quite scathing, isn't it? That you've watched an episode and like you've abandoned it already.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because like normally you go, I've watched the first one, I'll give it a go, give a few more to settle in. But for you to say that, you're like, It must be bad.
We were talking the other day, weren't we, in the other podcast, and we were talking about like things that terrify you. This time of year, you know, call me old school, but this time of year I want to be terrified watching programmes. I don't want to be trying to figure things out, and that's what it feels very much like, and it's like a murder mystery almost.
Yeah.
Murder mystery slash like you feel like every now and again see something in the background or something slightly which they're just ripping off Hill House, but nowhere near as good.
No.
Just really, really poor. And I said far too wordy, not enough action. Big no from me, and I won't be watching anymore.
Look,
fair enough.
Does episode two follow on from one? Because the way these episodes are titled, they are all the Edgar Allan Poe stories. So we've got Mask of the Red Death is the second one. We've got the Black Cat, we've got Pit and the Pendulum, the Raven.
Oh, but, so like little, it's an anthology one, is it? But they're all connected, or?
But they are all connected, yeah, because no spoilers, there's basically a number of deaths within the family, this part of the plot, and he sort of sat around the fire talking about his confessions, basically, of what's happened to his family and to this police officer. That is the plot of the story, really. I'm not listening, that is it. It just doesn't do it for me. I won't watch it anymore. Can't be bothered, to be honest with you.
That's fair enough, isn't it?
Honestly, I just, I don't know, Lee might say, oh, when I got to it, how many episodes is there?
Eight.
Lee might go, when I got to episode eight, it was amazing, but I haven't got the time and I can't be bothered. I really can't. I'd rather watch a good film.
I can beat that with what I watched, with what all of us watched, and I couldn't be bothered watching, I think, the last two episodes, which was the...
What were we watching?
The Last of Us. Was it The Last
of
Us?
Oh, yeah, The Last of Us. Did you not watch it?
The last two, we still need to do.
I knew he was going to stop.
Yeah.
Them.
I just knew not into it.
It was just the same old, same old, for me. For me.
Not a lot happened, did it?
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, see, it's...
But we're not here to talk about that.
I'm just putting
it out.
Monk's Online again. I like the last
after one and a half episodes. I gave it a long go. And I've got no inkling to go and watch. I'd rather watch what we've started Game of Thrones again for the fourth time. But there you go.
Yeah. Well, go on then, Richard. So I recommend you Host, which is on BBC iPlayer.
And as you were leaving ours, I had a quick look at it because I thought, okay, yeah, it's on iPlayer. I had a quick look at it and then I realised that I'd watched it and I thought, yeah, that is quite a good creepy thing, because what we're talking about is things that make our heart race. And then I started thinking, and it's a joke now between the three of us, or four of us, or five of us, or six of us, depending on how many we are, is that The Shining's a psychological thriller. And maybe that's what... Maybe I don't need horrors. Maybe I need psychological thrillers with a bit of horror in it. Because I want something that's... Because we came up with a couple of other things after we stopped recording the last episode. So I like The Skeleton Key. I'm sure I suggested that to me.
You mentioned that, yeah.
I like that, and that's on Netflix, the flicks of Net. I like The Woman in Black, that
I've seen that on stage as well. That's boss.
I want something like when you see The Woman in Black and she's in the background and she just shoots forward for some reason, comes right in your face, and it's not a jump scare as necessary, it's not that big bang and something jumps out, but it's just that makes you
And it's a 12, isn't it?
And the others,
yeah, I think
well.
So. Yeah, probably
the
is
others when the little girl's playing and she's under the sheet, but it's not the little girl's spoilies.
It's Michael Jackson.
So I want something like that, but Carl recommended me Totally Killer.
So can I tell you about this before? Because I'd seen the advert of this on Amazon Prime. It looked like an Amazon Prime original,
and
I'd forgot all about it. And then when you said you needed another one, I said, well, give that a go, because we watched the other day.
Yeah, so I was going in blind. I haven't got a clue. And I was looking at it, and it's got, who's the main lead? Keenan Shipka? Yeah, Keenan Shipka.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
She's been in lots of things. So she's the main lead. I don't recognise any of the others, but that's not having a go at them. But I was watching it and I was thinking, oh God, this is dreadful. I was thinking, why does Carl recommend this? This is so cheesy. And then after 10 minutes, I realised, this is a comedy. And then I thought, okay, hang on. And then I went back in my head and I thought, okay, fair enough. I get it now. It's a comedy. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And I think she was brilliant in it.
So what's the premise of it?
Right, so...
Without giving too much away, because James might watch it.
There was loads of nods to... There was obvious nods to other films like Scream, because the killer is masked. So it's about a killer who kills three people 35 years ago.
Yeah.
And then, I'm just thinking of spoilies, the killer comes back into present day and kills somebody, I'm not going to say who.
Yeah.
And her best friend, and this is where I thought, all right, okay, this is definitely a comedy. This is just didn't take itself seriously whatsoever. Her best friend made a time machine, so she goes back in time to try and basically stop
and she meets her mum and her dad, and
it's brilliant,
the people being killed,
and there's so many things like, have you seen Back to the Future? She says it's right, well, this, because I think she goes back to 1985, or Back to the Future had just been released because some of them had watched it
it's like 86 87, isn't it?
That's quite clever.
It was all right.
The masked character was like, I'm trying to think again, I don't want to throw spoilies out there. The masked character was very similar to Scream. And I thought, that's what I mean. I thought, well, this is just a rip-off of Scream. This is a rip-off of... And then I realised it was comedy. But I think she was brilliant because also there was a lot of things that... You know when you see an older film and it says people will have expressions and there'll be views and there'll be images that were seen as okay of that era. I can't remember how they say it. So difficult to explain really, but things that were accepted back then that are now no longer accepted. So her character is in the current era of like somebody touched her and she goes, oh, unwanted touch. And it's like, they go, what the hell are you talking about? And yeah. She goes into a PE lesson and it's just basically, just get on with it, stop moaning about things that, you know,
yeah.
that we used to grow up with that is no longer accepted. You got to be a little bit more careful around kids. And it was bringing all of that back, but not in a horrible, sadistic, nasty, bitching at, what do they call it, woke culture. It wasn't having a go at them. It was just a different, you know, she was saying like about, you're just going to go out in the street when there's killers around. God, things are so different to the way they were. And so it brought that into it. But I really thought that the main character, let's get her name, Kiernan, who played Jamie Hughes. But I thought Kiernan was really, really good. And I've never seen her in anything other than Sabrina. I know she was in something when she was a lot younger, maybe when she was 10 or 11.
Oh, she was in Mad Men, wasn't she? Wasn't she the kid in Mad Men?
Oh, I've not seen that. No, it's a film.
I think so.
She was in a film. Well, you know,
let's find out. If we only we had something that could tell us.
Google.
And I'm going to say something like, what was it? It's something. It was a big film that she was in, I think. Here we go.
I can't think
Carriers,
of what else
was Mad Men. You're absolutely there. The other two, Wildflowers. Not the one I'm thinking of.
While you're looking, you've hit the nail on the head there, Richard. Like, the way I describe it would be, it's a mixture of Back to the Future and Scream. That's it.
It's so funny.
And then,
but you know what? The deaths were horrible.
Oh yeah,
the deaths were
gruesome.
Brutal,
yeah, yeah.
They?
And like they both reference both films in it, so they know what Scream is.
They know what the
they know
what
Back to the Future is. Be like, ah, fair enough. Yeah. Yeah.
Clever.
It was good. It was good that way. Yeah, I was quite surprised because only seen the advert like by chance, and then yeah, I said to Lauren, do you want to watch it?
Is this a new one?
Yeah, this year. Yeah.
Yeah. It's gonna definitely become one of our go-to, like, Who Be Halloween, excellent film.
Oh, well, no, I like Who Be Halloween, no, I rewatched it.
Oh, is it good? I didn't watch it because you said you didn't like it.
No, I rewatched it, it is funny. Now I understand. Now I don't take Who Be Halloween serious. I appreciate it.
And I think that's Totally Killer, which is currently on Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime. For all
Carla Lange is, oh, no.
Can't do that. I don't do that, Mr. Amazon, I promise. Right, so because James recommended to me
Candyman.
I started watching it, and I watched about the first half an hour. So I haven't seen the Candyman fully, apart from the first scene.
Is this the original Candyman?
The original one.
You've never seen.
I know it's bad, isn't it? That's why I'm watching it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was falling asleep, so I turned it off. Not because I was bored with it. It was because I was tired. It was late at night. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm going to have to watch it for tonight. I've rented it, and it runs out tonight, so I've got to watch it.
rented it.
So I'm going to watch it.
I've got it on disc. I told that the other day.
Oh, never mind. It's all right. Well, I thought I wanted to watch it anyway. So because of that, I tried to find something that I'd wanted to watch for a while. And I remember mentioning this on the podcast a while ago, which I hadn't seen. So this is Censor, and it's from 2021. I remember mentioning this now. So it's about, you know, the BBFI, whatever it is, BBFC,
yeah.
Who do the censor, and they do like it's an 18, it's a 15 or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's basically a lady who worked for them in like the 80s or whatever, when all the video nasties around. Mm. And she starts watching this film and she recognises, I won't say too much about it, I don't want to spoil it, but she recognises one of the faces. And what it turns out is that her sister died when she was very, very young, went missing. And she thinks this actress is the sister, and then it just goes mad. And to be...
Is it scary, by the way?
Is it scary? I wouldn't say scary. It's a psychological thriller, if you want to put it that way.
No, I think we do now need to use that.
Right? Yeah, because I don't know what horror is anymore. It was unsettling. And
yeah, like unsettling.
It's a little bit like you said before, like a bit of a mystery. What's going on? Is it a sister? You know, is she just mad?
Mm.
Yeah, what's real, what's not real, all that sort of thing. The ending was a bit disappointing, I'll put it that way. I was a little bit like, oh, that's a bit...
It Could you have written a better ending?
I think so.
I mean, when you think, you know what, it would have been so much better if this would have happened, if that would have happened, if Jon Snow would have ended up. Sorry. Bringing back memories for James.
But what right, so I didn't really enjoy the ending, though it was a. Was it a satisfying ending? Yes, it was a satisfying ending. But I didn't find it satisfying because it went a bit strange.
Right, can I just stop you here? If it's satisfying, why is it not a good ending?
Oh, I don't want to say that. I'll spoil it.
Because it's surely if you're satisfied with the ending,
because,
it's a good ending. Isn't it?
Because it...
You see, I think...
It doesn't make sense with the logic of the film.
Right, okay.
Okay, so... Like, oh, it's... So, you're talking like 3/4 of this film. It's a normal film. Like, nothing... supernatural, let's say, right? And then all of a sudden it goes a bit weird. And it's not that it's supernatural, but it's things you're watching out what they seem all of a sudden.
Well, right.
So you don't know what's real and not real. Mm. And that's what I was a bit disappointed about. It should have went through with it and like, oh, this is what actually happened, and or this is what happened, or what you see, that's what happened. Or didn't happen. I don't know.
So does it go scatty, basically?
A little bit, yeah. Mm. Yeah, it does. And you can tell it's like... Oh, you can... Right, without trying to spoil it. You know when someone says... It was like, they finish it... And I told this big story. Remember when you were a kid and you told the story, you didn't know how to end it? Yeah. How did you end it?
The end.
Well, before that, you'd say... And they all woke up and it was all the same. Something stupid like that, right? Now, that's what this... It's not that... But it feels like that. It's like,
right,
there's no need for that ending.
Oh, yeah, I get you.
But everything that needs to be addressed was sort of addressed. Mm. So I really liked this film until like the last 10 minutes or so. It was really good.
So it wasn't really a sister?
I can't say. I can't say. But what's great is, because it's based on all the video nasties from the 80s, and so they use video nasties that don't exist. Mm. Or they do use like some of the stuff that exist, but then they don't...
What's a video nasty?
So when we were kids, like... Of course, you're too young, aren't you? So when videos became out, like VHS first came out, video nasties were all like the proper horrific horror films, like Driller Killer or what else, like Zombie Holocaust. Or like the
Exorcist
one, was Exorcist, I suppose, was one, yeah.
Child's Play.
So loads of them got banned, basically.
Rosemary's Killer was one of them. Not sure. There was a lot of basically, we're just going to drill into people's heads and put it on video. They were rubbish films, but they were bad.
And they were proper gory. So like these are sitting in this room and watch it and then go, oh no, cut that bit out because you can see it goes into his head or, you know, whatever. And that's what their job is. And then it's sort of, the plot revolves around this other film that she has to watch, which is a horror film with this girl who may or may not be her sister. And it was brilliant, all that bit. And it looks amazing. Like it sounds like really pretentious again, but the lighting of it was brilliant. Like, you know, like the different colours, the way they made these gore films was great. Like the officer she works in was just dead dull, dead boring. Yeah. But yeah, it was really good until I say like the last 5 or 10 minutes. It just sort of went a bit. Wow. Yeah. But you know what, really...
Took a wrong turn.
Yeah, well, there we go. I would recommend you watch it.
What's it on?
It's on Channel 4 at the moment.
All right.
Because I think it's a Film 4 film.
Yeah, I was looking at the cast. They're very British, but very well.
Oh yeah, it's a British one. Sorry, it's a British film. All, you know, British cast. Yeah. The only one I know is Michael Smiley. Mm. I think he was in Spaced, wasn't he? And then there's Nicholas Baines. I didn't recognise his face. Vincent Franklin. You probably recognise him from The Thick of It. He was one of the guys in The Thick of It.
Sure, it's got Alan Partridge's. Alan Partridge's PA.
It is. She's in it, yeah. What's her name? Felicity Montague, yeah. She was in it, little fleeting role. So it's all British actors and it's British made and it's set in England, obviously. And I was interested in it because it's about that, like, you know, the rating system and what they cut and what they ban and what they don't ban. And there's a few gruesome deaths in it. That's all I'll say. But yeah, I'd recommend it, but I was a bit disappointed, as I say. I was a bit let down by the ending.
Yeah.
Yeah, should have been better. It was like they ran out of ideas. Are we going to end this film?
A lot of people struggle.
Do you know what I mean?
To end films properly, though, don't they?
Without saying too much, without saying too much, it's a happy ending.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Do you know what? Compared to you might not know this, but like the original Blade Runner finish ending, that's what it's a bit like. The
original Blade Runner.
So the original Blade Runner.
Not the director's cut, no.
No, the original one he made that they all hate. where they all drive out into the sunset. That's what it's like. Without saying
don't say any more, Carl.
I don't want to spoil it.
We can already predict what's going on.
Yeah. So, it's 6 out of 10 on IMDb. Yeah. Should have been better.
Do you mean fair because of the ending?
Yeah, the ending let it down.
So
should have been
a better ending, would it have been a solid 7 or?
Yeah. Because, do you know what? The last... we're trying to skate around without spoiling it. Before it went shit, there's a few like gruesome deaths and you go, well, that boss. Right. And it references the video Nasty Era. Right. Like, it's done like that.
I wonder if James or people of James' age will endure or say it differently to the way we would, because we saw all of that, didn't we?
Yeah.
And we got excited about these films that were banned.
Yeah.
And that eventually, you know, oh, it's been released or whatever they called it, and we can go and watch it now.
Yeah.
The idea was you could go and anybody could buy a film and watch it, or rent it and watch it, or your dad could go and rent it and then you could watch it. And yeah,
well,
nasties.
Yeah, well, she goes into a video shop and like she sees someone getting a video from under the counter, and she says to the fella, "Have you got such a film?" And he goes, "Oh no, we can't. That's banned." And she goes, "Well, come on, I've seen you give that one there, so you must have it somewhere." And he just happens to have it at the back. It's like underground.
What was the most iconic video nasty then?
I don't know. I always think of Driller Killer.
I always think Child's Play.
Yeah, but that wasn't quite.
I'm sure it was banned, but I'm not sure.
I don't think that was banned, you know. I don't think it was banned, but
it's always referenced. I don't know what. I don't know if I've ever seen it.
I think Zombie Holocaust or something like with cannibals.
There were a couple of cannibal films that were.
They were rumored to be real.
Yeah.
That's how like controversial it was back then.
But I mean, look at Blair Witch. Was that done to try and make people more terrified of it?
Animal Activity was one, wasn't it? When everyone thought that was real.
Yeah.
The first one. It was marketed like it was real.
Yeah.
That's good.
It was marketed. I remember the first one. It was marketed like it was real.
Yeah.
That's how it was marketed. There was very little content with the people who were in it. There wasn't a big. It was all about this real fan footage type thing, and then it was like when people had seen it, then it all came out that it wasn't it?
Yeah.
But
just good marketing, isn't it?
But
that's my fault.
Blair Witch was the same.
I wonder how things have changed, because as well, when you read up on the Bump on Tinterweb, The Exorcist had paramedics on standby in the theatres because people were fainting and going into, what do you call it, where they...
Yeah, convulsions
and
whatever.
Yeah. And they'd think, and you think, that doesn't happen anymore, and it's not the most gruesome film.
Mm. Well, I was watching a thing on Facebook, and it was a video of like people being interviewed about The Exorcist. Come out of it, and it's dead interesting. Like, and someone going, "Did you make the end?" Oh, I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
You couldn't watch the end of the film. Like,
have we been desensitized? Have we really? Maybe.
I've
seen everything now.
And this is where horror as a genre is struggling, isn't it? Because people want to. Everyone agrees. People watch a horror to get scared. Now everyone wants to get scared. But what we're trying to find is, it doesn't matter how far we search, what we look for, whether it's on Netflix, Prime, whether it's on Disney Plus, whether it's on the telly, whatever. Nothing is scaring anyone.
I don't bother with any zombie films anymore. Not because it's the same thing.
But is this our age? Because we've seen all this, like you say, we're desensitized to it, but like the younger kids you might speak to who are getting into these films, they're going, "Oh, it's boss. You've seen Insidious, The Conjuring."
Well, you're right there, because I was speaking to someone the other day, and they were talking to me about The Nun.
Yeah.
Right? And it just doesn't really scare me that, like, the whole idea, the concept of seeing the other Conjuring films and all that.
Mm.
They're all right, they're not massively scary. People are like, "Oh my God, you're messing with me. The Nun's terrifying." It's like, it's not really terrifying.
Yeah.
It's not for me. It's not terrifying. You know, I know you watched the recent Halloween movie, the remake.
Oh, God, yeah. It wasn't... Well, it was a revisiting, because it was like two generations later. Halloween 2018, Jamie Lee Curtis was the grandmother in the family.
Yeah.
And you know, she's made her whole house is like a bloody Fort Knox.
Yeah.
She's got shutters on the door.
It's like Home Alone, but with Halloween.
Yeah. but there's, I don't know if I'm getting too picky. She's looking through the floorboards at the killer, yet when you're on the floor, all the floor is tiled. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. It just irritated me too much.
Yeah, I've got mixed up with the one I thought he watched.
Are you on the Rob?
So
the Rob Zombie
the
one.
The Rob Zombie ones are scary. The Rob Zombie ones are scary.
Yeah.
Very gory, very scary. As you said, the new Jamie Lee Curtis ones are terrible. I went to the pitch, see both of them actually.
Is that Halloween Kills?
Halloween Kills and Halloween Ends.
Yeah.
They're the two and the boat terrible.
But then there's Halloween and Halloween 2, which are Rob Zombie ones, aren't they? Which are totally different.
Right.
And then you've got the originals.
Right.
It's all about the money.
It is. Makes money, mate. Makes bank, doesn't it? I know.
Iconic, aren't they? There's an, I tell you, just like, it's not movie. Well, it is movie related. There's a shop on in America. I can't remember what it's called. I should not have my head. And oh my god, you should see some of the merch. They've got all the movie merch.
Oh yeah.
For all the horror films. They specialise in horror. And it's like a place as big as Costco, if you've ever been to Costco. But it's all, so they have all like inflatable, like scary inflatables and like robots and all that. Then they have literally aisles and sections specifically dedicated to like genres. So they have like the Friday movies, and you can get like the cheap Jason mask. Then you get like the super expensive Jason mask and all that. They've got, and then they've got mugs, hats, jumpers and all that. Then you've got the scream. Then trick or treats on it, loads. Trick or treat.
Yeah.
And you can get all them. Honest to God, it was amazing. No, if I could go there. But that, looking at that made me think of the key figures. So it was, I'll just tell you now, just because the thing is, because it's movie later. Trick or treat, Scream, Halloween, Friday the 13th, Beetlejuice, Halloween.
Nightmare
on Elm Street, Jack Skeleton, Nightmare Before Christmas.
Christmas
film. Yeah, The Addams Family.
So they're going into the sort of the kiddie.
Yeah. Then there was The Nun.
Surely Haunted Mansion?
No, not an Haunted Mansion.
Mm-hmm. But Disney might have the
rights. Yeah, they might have the rights too, but they were all like the main ones, but I mean, I'm talking, and you think these are massive films, and I know we can laugh about it, can't we, but they keep churning them out and they keep making money.
Yeah.
They,
absolutely.
They just do. Like these Halloween films. You know, I love the original Halloween 1978 one. One of my favourite horrors. But, you know, they're still making them now. And, you know, I don't think they're going to stop making them. I think they'll keep going. You'll keep seeing them just because they bring in the money, don't you? Got the iconic theme tune and people go, oh, here we go. But they're never that good, are they? They're nowhere near as good as the.
I didn't mind that 2018 one. I thought it was alright. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. You're not beating the original, are you?
Did you finish Fear Street Films?
I did.
Because I've done all three of those as well.
Oh yeah, go on then. What do you think of them?
Oh.
Have you seen them?
No, I want to watch them.
Okay then.
But you can still talk.
Okay, so I like the idea.
So what's the idea? Tell me.
Difficult.
Right, there's three films called Fear Street. 1974, 1970 something.
78
and 1666. So then it's set on this street or in this town that is seen to have a curse on it.
Yeah.
Where people, every 30 years or so, there's a.
One town that's cursed, and then the other town, it's like nothing.
Yeah, perfect
place. Exactly.
And then people are getting killed every sort of generation. And
it's all to do with a witch.
Sam Fear, I think her name is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it starts off in 94, then it goes back to tell the story of what happened in the 70s,
so
which is like
parents,
yeah, which is on a camp, and then like a sort of summer camp.
They've
definitely took the influence
way
of that.
Too much. The middle film I didn't like. I just thought it was too long.
It
they
is.
Should have into one film.
Yeah, exactly. I thought they could have done that in one film. I thought exactly the same.
That second film, what really did it have?
Didn't bring
very
it
into
it. But yeah, and then the third one goes back in time to like the witch hunts. Like sort of that sort of thing.
Dodgy
and then,
Irish accents.
Terrible Irish accents.
And then that reminds me of that was very much like The Witch.
Yeah.
Which I wouldn't mind watching again. There's another film. Any more to say on that?
No, I mean, it was enjoyable. It was worth watching. If you haven't seen it, give it a go.
Very, very gruesome again.
Yeah, and there's some good deaths on that, wasn't there?
Yeah.
But yeah, I you know what? I was thinking exactly the same thing you just said. It should have been one out of push two films. It was far too long. I suppose what they've tried to do is like a trilogy of here's three different horror films and let's have the same sort of story running through them. I suppose that's the way they've tried to do it, but definitely worth a watch if you like your horror and your gore.
I think of another one which is a very odd film called, I think it's Apostle or The Apostle, which is on Netflix or something like one of them. And I want to watch it again because it's just like what you said before. It's an uncomfortable watch. It's very, very strange. Basically, a brother goes to find out where his sister is, and she's... I'm just trying to also type in apostle, but I can't spell apostle while I'm speaking.
Apostle.
There we go. Apostle. so he goes looking for his sister, and it's sort of like a little bit of a cult. She's been taken in by a cult, and he tries to join the cult to find out where she is. And it's very strange, very, very strange. It's one of those where the trailer gets you, but I think the trailer and all the weird stuff that goes on in the trailer is condensed into like about 10 minutes of the film. But it's set at the turn of the 19th century. Hang on, 19th century, no, 1900s, 20th century.
20th century, so there you go.
Very, very early spider. You see, look, we're doing a Halloween special and there is this huge spider on the wall. And it's an uncomfortable watch. It's not nice. It's not pleasant. There's like medieval torture devices, you know, the rack, but they introduce sort of like I don't know what you'd call it, like what you put a car into that shreds a car up, and the engine and everything to do with the car, and it just mashes it up into little shards of metal.
Oh, right.
So it's got a rack with like a thing,
like a grinder, sort of grindy thing. Yeah, I know what you mean.
yeah, but very bizarre film. What did they get on this? 6.3, which I'm now thinking a 6.3 could be, as we discussed, it could be plus or minus 2, depending on what you, so it could be a 4.
What you want from that.
It could be an 8.3 for some people.
Yeah.
Yeah, bizarre film.
What's that on?
Apostle, come on, Just Watch. Another shout out for Just Watch, which saves so much time trying to find things.
When it works, because sometimes it doesn't always have it. Sometimes it doesn't have it, you know, because the other day I was looking for Monster House. Because it used to be on Netflix, so I don't watch it with the kids, and now it's not on Netflix anymore. But it's on ITV, but it didn't tell me it was on ITV. I had to go into ITV to go and find it, so I wasn't happy about that. Anyway,
right,
sorry.
Apostle is on Netflix.
Oh, excellent, there you go.
A man travels to a remote island in search of his missing sister who has been kidnapped by a mysterious religious cult. And it's on Netflix.
There you go.
In 4K, apparently. Cool. But I'd like to watch that again, because it's nice. Yeah, it's different. It's different. It's not like... It's not zombie. It's not all the stuff we've been talking about. But I still want something that's going to... I think one problem is my fault in that I will reach my phone. I'll reach for the phone too quickly. And then you lose the ambiance and the feel that's been built up over the last 5-10 minutes of the film.
Yeah.
So I'm now purposefully swapping phones with Claire, and we, you know, you're not allowed to.
I've got to
because I wanted to be scared.
Oh, I agree. No phones when you're watching a film. I agree. Just looking at Fear Street, part one got 6.2 on IMDb.
It's a good start. I like
it's
the
not
very
a bad start.
First 10 minutes. I
yeah.
like it.
Part 2 is the strongest one, got 6.7.
Wow.
Now, I think that's because that could be a standalone film. You could watch that on its own without watching the other two. That's what I think is good about the second one. And then the third one is 6.6. So they give that. I didn't think the last one.
Is it because it's the conclusion? But going back to that, so we reckon out of the three, the second film doesn't add anything.
Yeah,
it could be a standalone film, but in the big grand scheme of things, it doesn't need to be there.
Yeah.
Because it could just toddle off and, you know.
Yeah, it could have been a small section, but even so, that's one of them. It's based on R.L. Stein.
Yeah.
Is it
Goosebumps?
Goosebumps guy. So.
Which was a surprise. It did have that feel. It did have that teeny feel.
Yeah. Kids in pedal and all that sort of thing. Yeah. Good stuff. So. Halloween tomorrow for us, Halloween for you if you're listening, viewers, makes sense. Richard, what are you watching tomorrow? Halloween, go.
We started watching The Shining last night, but then Game of Thrones came on instead. I'd like to go back to The Shining.
Yeah, excellent. Well, as is tradition now, our Thomas is 7 tomorrow, so we'll be watching Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters. Looking forward to the new one coming out.
Are you saying Ghostbusters? I'm putting a deliberate pause in there because it is.
On the actual film, it is Ghostbusters. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm just joking. Yeah, so that's what we'll be watching. I'm going to finish off Candyman tonight Yeah. And if I get time, I doubt I'll get time, but if I'd like to watch The Exorcist tomorrow.
We watched it a couple of days ago.
Yeah. Is it still good?
Yes. Yeah. No, I don't like just going yes immediately. I'm thinking, you know what, it is still good. It's still nasty. It's still got its moments. And I like to look, when you get these films and you look in the you look on YouTube about like the making of and behind the scenes and what have you. I like it when you've got things like that, and there's so many on The Shining.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Oh,
yeah,
my
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
There's some ridiculous bits on about The Shining. It's like, are you sure he was meaning for that thing to look like a penis and it's meant to be reaching across to his crotch? But the thing I like about The Shining, and when things are pointed out to you and you think, right, that's been done deliberately, why has he done that? For example, the general manager's office, it's got a window.
Oh,
but
yeah.
That window, I think it's called the impossible window.
That's right, it doesn't exist, does it?
It can't exist. And they show you on a map, and they show him walking through and where he goes, and he goes back into himself. And it's like the window is within the hotel. So why has he done that deliberately? And now I'm thinking, why has he done that? What's he doing to our brains? And
have they not done it deliberately, and it just looks nice? Yeah, it just looks nice.
Yeah.
Because when you're watching a film, you don't notice these things, do you?
And we can't ask them now, can we?
No. Rude.
But there's so many things that the little, I don't know if you'd call them Easter eggs, but so many things in The Shining when they're pointed out to you.
Yeah.
And I'd love to know how much of a film is subliminal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Shining's got loads about it. There's even a film about them making of it, isn't he? Was it 237?
237.
Good film, man. I actually seen that before I seen The Shining, so it's one of them. Weird, I know. But one more I just thought, I did buy Knock at the Cabin, which is M. Night Shyamalan. So it's got a bit of a twist to it, apparently. M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah.
Ding dong. So I'm going to give that a watch at some point. hopefully this week.
I want to try something that somebody mentioned to us, which was called, it was very badly described to us. It's an old one again, and it starred Mia Farrow, See No Evil. Very quickly, just read it out to you. Exactly, yeah. A young blind woman is pursued by a maniac while staying in her family. In their country manor. So she's blind, she's in a huge building that she knows, so she knows all the sounds of what door shuts, which door that is.
Yeah.
And I quite like the sound of that, 6.6 IMDb, but it's not on anything at the moment. We could buy it on Prime, it's
£3.50. I rent a Candyman for £2.99.
There you go. I can't believe you rented it.
I was like, I was in the house, wasn't I? I was like, shall I buy it for 50p more and then have a fill of it? I was like, oh no, just rent it. Doesn't matter. I don't want that bothered, but I should have bought it. Anyway, never mind. Right, we will finish there. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you want to get in contact, we're on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. No, it's called X now. And you can email us, chatandflixhotmail.com. And have a lovely, happy Halloween. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.